John. Give everyone time to find it. St. John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. I'll read from the very from the 16th verse. John 19, verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. He bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And it's those three words in the middle of the last verse that I'd like to use for the sermon talk today. Jesus said, it is finished. That's the thought. It is finished. Before I come to the sermon proper, I'd like to use, give an example, maybe a couple or three others. Three word phrase that stands out, that has so much meaning. In 1 John chapter 4, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I don't know whether you realize it or not, but 1 John chapter 4 is one of the love chapters of the Bible, along with 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, did you know the word love is mentioned 30 times in 15 verses of that chapter? I'm going to read just two verses, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Three words. Powerful words. God is love. Let me just say it this way. God is love personified. You would like to know what, have a better understanding of exactly how what love is. Let me just direct you to go to Jesus. He's love. Now, I'm going to just digress just a moment right here. Love in the world of our day, a lot of it is not love, but it's lust. A lot of it is sexual desire, infatuation, maybe others. But if you really want to know what love is, look at Jesus. Amen. 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 I jotted some things down. I want to bring them to you. I cannot explain the love of God. Brother Harry Robinson years ago stood here and sung, elderly man, maybe had reached 80 at that time, before he passed away, and he was singing about the love of God. And I thought as he was singing that, and I'd known him a long time. I'd known him before he and Sister Emma got married, and that's a long time. Brother Harry was standing here, having his life changed by the power of God, saved by grace, and singing of the love of God. Let me just leave this with you this morning. Jesus loves little children. Sometimes they might be able to get under your skin or on your skin. But Jesus loves them. And the Bible said on more than one occasion, He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for they are sent to the kingdom of heaven." He would take them in His arms and would bless them. I can't think of anything I would want more for my children than for the Lord to take them and bless them. Amen, amen. Jesus loves young people. The Bible said He was requested by Jairus, a ruler, come to His house. His daughter was dying, and then He had word that she died. But Jesus loves young people, and this young girl, if she'd have been here today in our church, she'd have been a part of the youth of Missy and Shelley as they lead the youth group. Jesus raised her from the dead. He loves young people. He loves adults. He went by the well Samaria one day. And a woman, an adult woman there that had been living in sin, had been married 5 times. The vows didn't mean very much. I just heard again this week that the divorce rate in America is still 50%. 1 out of every 2 marriages end in divorce. Every time there's a divorce, there's trouble, heartache. And when there's a divorce with children, there's double the effort. Terrible. But Jesus went by Samaria because this woman was there living in sin, and after He was there and talked with her, she accepted Him and she went away rejoicing in her heart. Jesus loves adults. And I hesitate to say this, but He even loves older folks. And I am a good example. He loves me. I hope you'll never forget. If you ever feel alone, if you ever feel like no one cares, if you ever feel like no one seems to understand what you're going through, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. And in that verse that I read from 1 John 4, God is love. Brother, that's a mouthful. Then I went a little further. I went to the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. And I read the picture of the resurrection morning when the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus because they did not have time when He was crucified and the Sabbath was coming on. When they arrived in the garden, they found the stone was rolled away, and when they went looking in the tomb, they saw someone in white long raiment, the Bible says, sitting on the ledge where Jesus had lain. And Jesus wasn't there. And the Bible said they were afraid. They didn't know what had happened. They didn't understand that Jesus had said, "I will rise again." They didn't understand. Now Jesus is gone, and they didn't know, and they were afraid, the Bible says. And the angel said, "Be not affrighted. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him." Those 3 words in the midst of that verse. He is risen. He is risen. Let me say this, and I believe it. I believe those 3 words changed the course of all history. He arose. If He did not arise, the world would have kept on going as it was. They killed a man, but it made no difference because He was still in the tomb. But when He arose from the grave that day, it changed the course of our history. If He rose, you and I can rise. I have a hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I have a hope. He is risen. Somebody said, "Brother Jones, this is not Easter." I read the Easter story. As I was preparing and I realized that we use this oftentimes at Easter time, let me just share something with you. The resurrection story is good in July and August and September and all the time. It doesn't have to be Easter time to talk about the resurrection. He's alive today. We were saying it a while ago, alive, 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 forevermore. He's right now in my heart, alive. Well, praise God. He is risen. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. When I think about something such as that, it just does something in my heart, in my life. Unlike all other religions of the world. And I hope you understand now, people are getting in trouble in these latter days for preaching the Bible. You can preach the Bible today and you'll be arrested. In fact, there are some even in the pulpits of the churches in Canada. If they find out about it and you preach on the radio or television, from the pulpit, if you preach from the first chapter of Romans and preach it like it is, you'll be arrested. That's Canada. We're living in perilous times. So I want to make a statement. He's risen. Christianity is the only religion in the world that has a risen Savior. Islam, Buddha, Shinto, Hindu, all the others, they'll either die, but our leader's alive. Aren't you glad? He's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then I want to come to the third in the second chapter of the book of Acts. On that Sunday morning, when they were gathered together worshiping and praising God and giving thanks to the Lord for all that He had done, how that the Lord sent the promise that He said they would send. He said, when I arrive back to heaven with my Father, I will pray and He will send the Comforter. He'll not only be with you, He'll be within you. And as I was preparing, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And they filled all the house where they were sitting. There came cloven tongues like as if I came and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And the Bible says in that second chapter that Peter, along with the 11, stood up and with the anointing of the Almighty God preached. First sermon recorded in the Bible of Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Let me leave this with you today. He didn't spend all of his time talking about the children of Israel getting across the Red Sea. He didn't spend all his time talking about the Canaan land and the milk and honey. He didn't spend his time, all his time, talking about how God had delivered from the lion's den and from the fiery furnace and from the dungeon and the rest. He preached about Jesus. And did you know what today the world is dying to hear about Jesus? He preached about His death. Preached about His resurrection. They came to Him, the people that had gathered there, the Jews from around about the various nations had come to the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. They've come to worship, celebrate this feast day. When they heard this on a Sunday morning, these people coming down out of the upper room, out to the curves and the streets of Jerusalem, and they're speaking in other tongues, and in their tongues there are so many that were gathered there, some from Italy. Here they're speaking the Italian language. Some from Spain hearing them speaking in the Spanish language. Some from some other countries hearing them speaking in their language. And they said something like this. How is it? What is this phenomenon? What is this speaking in tongues? How do we... Listen, they wanted to know, how is it that we hear them speaking in languages that they've never learned? And they're talking about the wondrous voice of the Lord. Listen to this. When the Holy Ghost speaks, brother, He's not going to put the spotlight on man. It's going to always be on Jesus. They said, we have heard them speaking in our own languages. How is it? How is it possible? And then they said three words. What meaneth this? What meaneth this? What is it all about? And that's when Peter began to share with them the man called Jesus. I've mentioned three different three-word phrases, but I'm going to come back to the sermon text today. It's finished. Jesus hanging on the cross. The last words, some of the last words that came out of His mouth, it said, I thirst. He's spoken to his mom. He's spoken to John. He's spoken to the thief on the cross. This day shall thou be with me in paradise. Now we come to the time of the evening sacrifice. He's been there on the cross for 6 hours. And he says it's finished. Somebody said, Brother Jones, what does it mean, it's finished? What was finished? What was finished? So I want to use three thoughts. I'll be brief. Number one, his suffering was finished. He'll never suffer again. He suffered more than any man. You say, how can you say that, Brother Jones? Plenty of people have been beaten. Plenty of people have been mocked and ridiculed, spit upon, all the rest. How can you say that he suffered more than any man? One way. He took our sins. No man has ever taken our sins except him. Hallelujah. He suffered. Go with me if you will. They arrested him in the garden. They came with a mob. They led him away. They led him to Caiaphas. They led him to Annas. They led him to Pilate. He went before Herod. After a while, the Bible tells me they stripped him of his garment, of his robe, and they put on him a different colored robe, and they put a reed in his hand, and they crowned him with a crown of thorns, and they made fun of him, calling him king, laughing and mocking. He suffered humiliation. He suffered shame. They stripped him. They plucked his beard. They spit in his face. They slapped him. Blindfolded him, slapped him and said, if you're a prophet, tell us who it is that just hit you. He suffered. They tied him to the post in the praetorium. We've been there. There are markings there in the stone where the soldiers were. They brought Jesus to the praetorium. They tied his hands and they beat him. They beat him. They beat him. My Bible says, and by his stripes we're healed. He suffered like no man has ever suffered. Our sins were laid upon him, and God the Father turned his back. I can hear him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? Because God would not look on sin. Jesus suffered. Listen to this. He suffered never to suffer again. Never, never. Suffering is ended. It is finished. Jesus is saying, hallelujah. The words of the hymn, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burdens of Calvary and suffered and died alone. His suffering is over. Another hymn. That's us to know several, and I don't jot it down here, but all the time saying it's finished. It's finished. My suffering is ended. Second thing I would like to mention. When he cried out, it's finished, the price of my redemption and yours was paid in full. There's some wonderful times in our life when it comes to monetary matters. I don't know, we didn't have any kind of celebration or rejoicing, but I was glad to get a statement from wherever it came from, stamped on paid in full. Our house was paid off. Now, that's all right. And that's been a long time ago. And I'm glad I haven't had to make another payment in all these years. I like to get it out every once in a while. Still look at it. Paid it more. Something happened in February 1955. I went to an altar with my sins bearing down on me heavy. But the Lord let me to know that paid it more. My penalty's been paid in full. Hallelujah. Glory, I'll never have to pay anything. It's already paid. Let me just share this with you. There are a lot of religions that don't go by the Bible. My Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm going to be as plain spoken as I possibly can this morning. You can work your fingers to the bone, but it will not get salvation. You can give all the money you have, and even what your wife has, but it will not merit salvation. You can pray prayers from now until you die, but saying prayers will not get salvation. You can chant beads. You can light candles. You can do a lot of things. Many religions of the world. But I want everyone to know there's nothing more to be paid. All he asks of us is to believe. Hallelujah. When my wife and I made it to the altar that night, and I know all of this is not included on that night in Idaho when we got saved. But this is what happened. I could go there and offer what I had to the Lord, but that could not save me. All the Lord wanted from me is just believe what I've told you. Let me just leave this with you today. The price of sin has been paid. The price of our redemption has been paid. The price of our salvation has been paid. And nothing you can do will ever earn salvation. All you've got to do is believe. And remember this, what God had in His plan back then, He still has today. How many people have told me, but Brother Jones, it's a new day. Things are different. People are different. So many things are different, and they are. I want you to mark this down. God's not different, and the Word's not different. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the 13th verse says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nothing about works, nothing about money. Nothing about trying to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Nothing about changing your life. Nothing about trying your best to live a better life. It's believing on the Lord Jesus. And remember this, and I'm going to hurry on. The second point, when he said it's finished, he means everything has been paid. Everything has been paid. Nothing left for us to pay. All we have to do is believe and live for Him. That didn't end on a shouting note, but it's shouting sermon preaching. And finally, when he said it's finished, when he said, in that chapter that I read, it's finished. And I'm going to wind up. Sin's power has been broken. And anyone that will serve God and live for God, my Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. How many have a misconception of the Scriptures? I'm saved, but I know that I'm still sinning. No, you're professing Christianity, but you're still a sinner. Do you accept that? Do you believe that? So many have the idea that I accepted Christ, and I know that I'm still living a sinful life. How did you live before you got saved? It was a sinful life. And if there's not been a change, something's wrong. And when Jesus said, it's finished, He lets us know that sin no longer has to have dominion over us. If you serve God, you get into victory. I'm going to come closer so I want everyone to understand. As long as you have to have part reigning upon the throne of your heart, something's wrong. As long as you have to have your way, something's wrong. There'll be a battle. And Jesus is saying, it's finished. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. If sin has dominion over you, Satan is in control. But if you put Jesus on the throne, hallelujah! If you put Jesus on the throne, you'll live in victory. Not just on Sunday morning,
And Sunday night when Brother Brian preaches tonight, not just in Wednesday night Bible study or in the family night, you can live in victory every day, 24 hours every day. No sin shall have dominion over you. None. Oh, I've had some people say, Brother Jones, I've got a terrible temper. It's controlling you. Get rid of it. You will never live in victory as long as you have it. Amen. You say, Brother Jones, that's strong. The Bible is strong. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. I've mentioned tonight, today, when he said it's finished, suffering is over for him. And when that trumpet sounds for us that are saved and love God, and we receive our glorified body, I want you to know suffering is going to be over for us. Thank God. Thank God. We've got folks in our church that have suffered and suffered and suffered. In one split second of time, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Suffering will be ended for us. But suffering ended for Jesus when he came out of that grave. It's finished. It's finished. No man will ever lay a hand on him to hinder him or harm him. It's finished. It's over. Hallelujah. The power of sin has been broken. And our penalty has been paid. We're going to pray this morning. My wife's coming to the piano. We're going to sing Majesty. Worship His Majesty. I believe that's it. Right at the back of the book. I want to close with this. Sometimes if there's not a shout in the camp, sometimes people maybe feel like something's missing. Did you know it's the Word of God that's powerful? And if we receive the Word of God, there will be something to shout about forever. Forever and forever. The penalty has been paid. The suffering for Jesus is over. It's going to be over for us. And the sin has no power over the believer that loves Him with all of his heart. I'm glad today that I can tell you, I belong to Him lock, stock, and barrel. With all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my faith, I've given Him everything. I'm no better than anyone here, but I'm glad for victory. I'm glad for victory in Jesus. Will you stand with me? I believe it's the last verse, of course. Huh? No. Great and Mighty. The last one. I gave you the wrong name, but I gave you the right picture. Great and Mighty is the Lord our God. Last one.